Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this podcast. This one, I am jumping out of my skin, excited. We have kind of the love story of love stories today. And I have with me a guest who's been on the podcast twice before, Dr. Michelle Roberts, who for smart daters that work with us know probably a third of you have subsequently joined Dr. Roberts' practice. She is a phenomenal therapist. She's been on, I'll put links to both of the episodes about narcissistic trauma. But I want you to know that Dr. Roberts first came to us as a client, and today is her 1 year wedding anniversary. So we thought we would bring Michelle onto the podcast to tell you her own journey of life, love, and the most amazing love story. So Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks, Bella. It's always so good to be here with you. Right. So third time's a charm. This one is going to be different, right? The other times I came on your podcast as the therapist, right? The clinician, the expert on relational trauma, narcissistic abuse, kind of here to talk about why your client keeps falling for the wrong guy and what to do about it. I'm still that person, right? I do that work every day. But now I'm coming on as someone who for years, right, told women that love was possible, and quietly in my own life, I wasn't sure I believed it. Right? And just to put that out there, but now I do. So it's always a little bit uncomfortable, right, for a therapist to kind of put herself into the room. We're trained not to.
I love that.
I was divorced about 20 years ago when my kids were still really small, and I was single for a very long time. I knew academically, right, what to tell my clients. I could walk a woman through the architecture of her heartbreak with my eyes closed.
For sure.
Right? I knew the neuroscience. I knew the attachment theory. I got the dissertation work on narcissistic abuse done. I had the language for all of it, but did I really in my bones believe that it was possible after so much loss? And I say that because I think that is where a lot of people come to you, right? In
for
that
sure.
Place, right? What do you notice about that? Like when people arrive at your door, I'm sure it's for lots of different reasons, but a fair amount, I think, where I've been personally and where I work professionally is this really going to happen?
100%. And I think people come to us with the mixture of, right, like ambivalence, right? Like,
yes.
Does this exist for me? Maybe it exists for other people. Sometimes it's, could I handle it? Do I want it? And hope. So we get people kind of with a different weighted average of all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was, you know, raising the kids. Before I came to you, I'd had a couple wildly disappointing dating experiences, right? Enough to really get me burrowed back in my work. And then my own therapist, right? If your therapist doesn't have a therapist, you need a new therapist. I always
I love
say
that.
She led me to you, Bella. She encouraged me the first time around. So I think it was right around the beginning of COVID. And, you know, I got all signed up. I did all the things. And I went on a colossally bad date.
Oh,
This date is the pug story. Do you remember this?
I do, and I'm sitting here laughing about the pug story. So guys, even when you have a dating coach, okay, sometimes you're gonna discover that people aren't exactly right for you, and you might discover that right away, right?
Well, and the funny thing is when in retrospect, right, having that date,
Tell the date. You got to tell the date.
okay, I will, but having that date also taught me, right, retrospectively what some red flags actually were, because they were there, right? But I didn't really realize that till I got on the date. It wasn't as clear, but we were just going to do something simple, walk our dogs in the park. And he showed up with a baby stroller and a very elderly one-eyed pug who frankly did not look like he was going to make it through the date. And he fed the dog chicken from a Tupperware container. Oh, baby, the entire time, which I'm an animal lover, I can get there, while complaining about his ex-wife the entire time. And then when I gently declined a second date, he left a negative Google review on my business website that took forever to get taken down. So,
Unbelievable.
right. And so I was in a different dating market. That wasn't the only date that just didn't really go somewhere. And I kind of just crawled back into my shell for another 4 or 5 years. Right. And I think that pathway, I see a lot of people pause, right? So that was my pause. And what was really happening there is I just still had some work to do. So what happened in the shell, right? When I crawled back in, they were not wasted years. They
No.
really years where the real work happened. Despite all the therapy, despite all the working, everything that I knew, right, about the trauma structure and how it impacts dating, despite all of that, there was still a lot for me to do personally. And not thinking that I had it all figured out was essential to that. So I deepened my clinical practice. I started doing psychedelic-assisted therapy, which is mushroom medicine with clients and in my own work very intentionally into my own healing. I journeyed. I did the grief work, right, of
Wow.
the loss of my marriage that I'd been quietly avoiding for 2 decades because I was busy. I was raising children by
Of
myself,
course.
right? My children grew up, they went off to college and into their own lives, and I eventually moved from the Midwest back to Portland into my cute little witch house. Right, my favorite city. I decorated exactly the way I wanted to. And the version of me who, because of my own backstory, had kind of spent my whole life feeling fundamentally alone in the world, she finally felt at home in herself, not vulnerable, at home, right? And that's a very different posture, right? And it took everything that I'd done my whole life to get to that point. But I've been telling my clients for years, like, once you really come home to yourself, the right person shows up magically almost, right? It sounds corny, but there is a real synchronicity to that.
I'm
Yeah.
curious. I love that. And I think so many of us can resonate with we need to come home to ourselves. And is there a way, like, how do you know that you've done that? Like, can you give us a couple of, for those of us that are like, okay, am I at home with myself? Am I picking me?
Yeah, there what does that really mean? One thing is being the right person for yourself means you stop performing, right? The version of you on the date is the same version of you on a Tuesday morning in your pajamas. There's no audition self anymore.
I love
Okay.
that. I love that.
Yeah, it means you stop abandoning yourself to keep someone interested, right? We don't here comes the garbage truck right on time. You don't shrink, you don't edit, you don't downplay the things you love. If they need a smaller version of you or a neater version, they are not yours, right?
Yes,
It
that's right.
means, and for me, this was especially important. You can be alone without bleeding out, right? Loneliness stops being the steering wheel. You don't make relationship decisions to escape your own company because your own company is finally good company. How do you get there? For me, it is the simplest of things. It is every spring here in Oregon. There is a 40-acre peony field here every spring. It means I'm there once a week during that time, refreshing and filling my house with peonies, not just waiting for someone to bring them to me. These are subtle shifts, and they mean different things to so many different people. But this is just my flavor of it, right? Another thing is, and this is what I really learned with my husband. Today's our first year anniversary. Is you tell the difference between someone who fits your life and someone who fills a hole in it. Those two things feel almost identical to a dysregulated nervous system. They feel completely different to a regulated one, right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because you stop performing.
Yeah. You stop performing. And also, regulating your nervous system is about, we hear that terminology all the time, but it just takes practice in bringing yourself back to yourself. When I'm in session with clients, we do, a lot of specific exercises for that. But also, it's the simple act of, I want to feel beauty around me, so I'm going to put myself in my car, drive 30 minutes, and go get my peonies this week, right? In the regulation of doing something for yourself, instead of feeling, that achy feeling of no one's bringing me flowers. So, whatever
Right.
that looks like for anyone. And I know you talk about this one a lot, is just stopping confusing intensity with intimacy, right? Drama is not depth.
No,
Anxiety is not chemistry, and rest is not boredom. Yeah.
that's so true, and I'm so glad that you said that because I think so many of us with dysregulated nervous systems, right? I always say it's not your fault, right? It's not your fault that you're acclimated to some extent to wanting to feel a little anxious, a little amped up on dates. And if you find everybody feels boring to you, what would you tell that person? And they're looking for this activation.
Well, my therapist taught me this. You have to have that erotic polarity, right, at some point. That's one of the things we know. You need to feel romantic towards the
Yes.
person. But anything in, especially in the really beginning, that quickens you to a level where you're checking your phone constantly, right? And that is a good sign, right? That your nervous system is not settled into whatever this is trying to be. I noticed, I think that boredom does not have to be, right? That word is not the signpost for what you're looking for either. If it's boring, it's good. I don't think that's necessarily true either. But in at least in the beginning, you want a nervous system that is calm, right?
Calm.
It feels good. That someone that feels like rest, right? And rest after a lifetime of chaos is the most romantic thing in the world. I know that when my husband first got here, that's another, part of the story. He came from another country, Australia. I slept. I was so sleepy, right? And It was like, what is going on? And my therapist helped me to understand you feel and good. And it was wonderful, right?
Wow.
And yeah, and we can
Yeah.
still go cut a rug, go dancing, but have fun and it's exciting, but it feels restful. It comes into the nervous system completely differently. Yeah.
I
And
love this.
yeah. And this kind of continuing on that, this for me was it. There was, you build the life you want, even if no one ever came. For me, that was it, right? The witch house, it's just a cute little cottage, the career, right? The friendships, the medicine work I've done, the drives to the peony field, the Tuesday night that's good on its own. And it means, and this is kind of the quiet one, you can finally recognize someone else's wholeness because you've located your own, right? You can't see in another person what you haven't yet found in yourself.
I love that. And so you did all this work, Michelle. And then I get an email from you one day, probably, well, we're in 2026 now. Was it 2024? Saying, you know what?
2024.
I'd like to re-engage. I'm ready in a new way. And so we did it. And one of the things we redid, even when many people come to re-engage with us, right? Because finding love is a journey. Sometimes it's a journey back to yourself, and dating can pull off band-aids to go, oh, okay, maybe I still have some work to do. And then you come back kind of reworked, band-aided up. And, I think one of the important things that we do with people is this exercise called elevator people. And thinking about the people in your life that make you really, really happy and why. And so much of what I've realized as I've gotten more educated over the last 16 years is the elevator people in your life are the people that make you really happy. They elevate you and they make you feel really grounded and safe. And so when we start dating, we prioritize the characteristics of each individual's elevator people and the theme behind that. So now we redo that. We kind of launch back into the dating world. But tell us a story. Tell us the story of how you met Hamish and what happened. Because this
Oh,
is really friggin' cool. You guys, put your seatbelts on.
okay, so I re-engage with Bella. And I don't know if it was hours or days or a couple weeks. Actually, yeah, it was almost simultaneously. Well, let me back up just a little bit.
Yes.
So here's what happened. Okay, so somewhere in those years, right, I received a gift of a reading from an evolutionary astrologer, right, for a holiday one year. That's not really my jam, right? But it sounded fun. And he did a cartography reading, which, and this is where are your power places on Earth, and where you might find a soulmate. And during this cartography reading several years ago, two lines ran straight through Australia. So file
And you're
that
like, okay, great.
away. Right. So when I re-engaged with you, Bella, right, and I wasn't exactly thinking about that. And let me back up one more time. Even before I had engaged with you the first time, I had this little Instagram account and I love to post dog videos because it's just who I am.
Not one-eyed pugs that you have to manually feed
No,
to.
like I said, I'm an animal lover. But a man, so there was a man whose Instagram I'd been following since 2018. And I had loved his page during COVID when we were all locked down. He was a Michelin star restaurant manager in Berlin, kind of doing these absurd very funny cooking videos in his kitchen during lockdown. And let me be clear, this was not some popular influencer. I think it was me, his mom, and two other people who watched these videos. And the only thing he ever made was soup, right? Different versions of the same soup. And I knew nothing about him personally, only that he was warm and clever, and he felt strangely familiar. And we'd commented friendly things on each other's posts for years. No romance, none, just two strangers, you
Two
know.
strangers that just happened to follow each other on the gram.
Yeah, and we have no idea how that connected. At one point, I thought that we had a mutual friend, but that turns out to have not been the case. So then a couple summers ago, he had tagged me in a series of video, or well, yeah, now it's been a couple summers. So right about the time we re-engaged, he tagged me in this random video. And then we just started talking a little bit, right? And so DMs kind of became signal became voice notes, voice became video. And honestly, it just kind of felt like home. And it was somebody who had kind of been in my field of scope for at that point. I mean, how many years was that? 7, 8 years? A long
7, 8 years,
time.
and randomly,
We have still to this day.
no
Right.
clue.
And so by the time we were reconnecting, he was back in Australia from Berlin, which is where he's from. Right. There's those two lines on the map, right? Right through
That
Australia.
went through Australia.
Yep.
And did you put this together at this point? Were you kind of like, huh?
No, I
No.
didn't until the friend who had given me the reading, when I said, I'm talking to this guy in Australia. Was like, oh my God, oh my, she remembered it. I had not remembered it. So I went back and listened to the reading, and there it was. That's just a fun little part of it, right?
Totally.
But it didn't really take long, right, before we kind of knew that the depth of what was happening. So we and with Lindsay and your guidance, right, we committed to weekly, at first weekly online dates. And then eventually, right, we would make it a priority to have a date once a day. And, depending on our work schedules and the time difference. But we, for almost a year, right, for 12,000 miles apart, we watch movies together, we listen to podcasts, we ate dinner together, we were just together in a way that mattered. And we got to know each other at a level of depth and emotional intimacy, right, that predated anything physical, right? We knew,
Oh,
yeah, we
yeah.
were on video, right? We knew what each other looked like. There were going to be no surprises, yet it allowed us to not really get caught up in anything else. And I think if either one of us had been flaky at all, that it wouldn't have worked. It took two people being interested enough in each other every single day to want to keep that commitment. And it's
And
a
this
good,
was
that was a good
even,
base for us.
that was a great base. I mean, I'm remembering you guys were doing these daily FaceTimes, literally. And then your first trip, I want to say it was months into our re-engagement. Then Hamish comes along, and this guy, we're like, he's in Australia. Like, okay, sounds good, interesting. Wow, you followed each other. And yet it's like the progression and the depth. We're like, and you said, I'm going to go to Australia over the holidays.
I think everybody thought I was a nut. I think, Lindsay was so great and supportive, but I'm not positive, right? She, oh, well. And I'm like, Lindsay, I got this, I swear.
Have
Right.
your own place. You're not staying in his house. Like, we had all our, like, okay, if you're going to do this, we just want you to be safe and emotionally safe, physically safe.
Yes. And at that point, I personally was not worried about that component of it because I knew him so well. But yes, would I tell one of my clients the same thing you guys told me? Absolutely. So, when I finally flew out to meet him in person, that was right the test, right? Would the feeling hold up in the same room, or had we been delusional? Right. But he met me at the airport in a t-shirt that he'd sharpied himself. And he said, "I love Michelle." And it was wonderful. And we knew, I would say during that trip, right, we had, because we were an international couple, right, we knew at some point that marriage would have to be. But we were just talking about ways that we could figure out to be kind of on the same land, on the same ground.
Because that visit went so well. You've got to tell us about how, of course, Lindsay and I are like sitting here in the US going, how's it going? Are you okay? Is everything going well? You're like, it's great. It's amazing. We're playing, we have game night with his parents.
Yeah, it was the best. It was the best. And we're going to bring him in just a couple minutes
Oh
and
my
he can
gosh.
kind of talk
Yay.
with us about that. But it was wonderful. Oh my gosh, of course, then the dogs are going to go off.
Of course they are. That's
This is going
okay.
to be this is the real life episode.
Exactly.
so we fed cockatoos, off of the balcony, right? My Airbnb, and I just got to really see every part of his life. I got to meet his parents. I got to see the home that he grew up in, that he was actually brought home from the hospital, right, into this home. So I got to sense really who he was and how he operated in the world. He had, after Berlin, he had come back home to Australia to help take care of his parents. His dad had been sick for a little while, and he just got to see his life and his friends, and it was very reassuring. There were no, oh, well, what's that? Right? There was no disconnect from the person that had been presenting himself to me online.
Completely consistent.
Yes.
Yeah. And available with
Okay.
the t-shirt that says, I love Michelle. Like, right.
Yeah.
Straight out of Love Actually.
Well, and we say that, oh, that sounds romantic, but so yeah, we met and we had a really great connection that first visit, and we started, talking about ways that, we could take the relationship kind of to the next level. So.
Amazing from with, an ocean and, a couple of bodies of water in between you.
Yes. And keep in mind, at that point, we had been doing this for quite a while, right?
For
And we,
sure.
it's unconventional, but yeah.
And what I want to point out that's so lovely about your story, and you said it in the beginning, but for all of you that are listening, right? It's like, well, number one, how do, like video dates, come on. Like, okay, maybe I'll do one and then I need to meet the person in person because I just need to know if we have chemistry, right? I need to see the person. And here, this story is to me unique and lovely and not the only one that we've seen, especially during COVID, right? When we couldn't meet people. Right. Even if we lived an hour and a half drive from each other, we had to do video. And so here it's the ability to have this connection that grows slowly but surely into this emotional intimacy without the distraction of physicality. And oh my gosh, am I ready? Do I have him come over for dinner? Do I do the thing and the thing and the thing? And here you build this amazing relationship, almost like, I would imagine in the 1940s when people would write letters, like maybe you met this man and then he was going to be shipped off to war for a couple of years and you could only keep in touch transatlantically and you would wait for that envelope with that airmail stamp on it. And so what you guys were able to do was this.
Well, it was completely on the emotional, spiritual level, right? And then the big question was that going to translate right into the physical part of that? But honestly, I don't think either one of us really worried about that at that point. It did not seem as important, but this seems like a really good time, right, to bring Hamish in since we're talking now, we're up to that point. He wants a big introduction. Hamish.
Dun, 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 dun. Da, 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 da. You guys, we've never had the lid to somebody's pot join this podcast. So, Hamish, I would like to give you the most amazing welcome because you are the first significant other ever to join us on the Smart Dating Academy podcast, direct from the beautiful Cottage Witch House. It's lovely to have you.
Okay, is that take one? I think that just
Cut, he's out.
yeah, can I just start off with, I've been waiting out there for 30 minutes. Nobody's brought me the sparkling water that I asked for, so I don't know about this operation. But
How was
thanks
your
very
green
much.
room? Was your green room nice? Did we have the pink M&Ms all sorted out for you?
Yes, yeah, that part I did enjoy. So that was really That was lovely of you. Thank you very much. That's a really warm welcome. And thank you for making me the inaugural significant other, I suppose. Yeah.
Big shoes to fill from now on.
I've got big feet.
Well, just, when you, how do you feel like, what's your recollection of this Instagram connection?
I was thinking about that earlier. It's a funny thing to think about now because we've both kind of gone a little bit against social media because of it sort of seems to be more of a prevailing toxicity these days. But we always talk about how we've actually got a lot to thank for it because I probably wouldn't be here without that. I mean, you've got to start with I'm very charming. So, no, I for whatever reason, I do have Instagram to thank for introducing me to the love of my life. For whatever reason, I don't know really how it happened, but I think we might have just clicked on, the same post and then got each other's attention and started following sort of each other.
For me, it was your cooking videos.
Yes, I do cook a good bowl of soup. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that go into any relationship, I guess. But COVID and Instagram probably made us, I guess, if you look at it that way. I would like to push back a little bit on that over time sort of things happen. Once we did start talking to each other, I do remember, and I can produce the text messages after we had actually started talking. After like a week, I'd said, "What are you going to wear when we get married?" So it wasn't.
I didn't take that so seriously at
I
first.
was serious. I
Well,
can.
it turns
Like
out
you
Tom was
knew.
serious.
Yes.
You knew. Hamish, how did you know from 12,000 miles away or whatever it is that you're, and we've all had relationships, right? And here you are on the screen with this woman that lives on the west coast of America. Like, what were you, what was going through your mind during these daily FaceTimes?
I think I think we're both pretty good at having that certain sense of knowledge without overthinking it. I think we're both very much feeling people, and I think one of the things that I'm good at is things that I can know or instinctually know, and once we it was kind of inevitable. I don't think that thinking about doing this morning, I the thing that sticks out to me is that at no point did it really ever feel unusual, where it probably should. I between the first year where it was just with a religious, fervorance, we had to talk every day, and then, not to jump too far ahead, but then coming here, and for the first year waiting for a green card, going from that, being over the other side of the earth, and then living in each other's pockets because I couldn't work, those first 2 years, there was never a time that that felt unusual or challenging or doubtful. So
Well,
that's,
I just want to, going into other dating situations, I'm sure for both of us, for everyone, right? I've historically been really like, oh, but what, overthinking this and overthink, you experienced that with me, right? What about this? What about that? And Hamish is right. It just never really felt that unusual. It felt really natural. And I think a lot of that has to do also with our age, right? We're older. But also, it has to do with really knowing ourselves. We both been in, on our own for a long time, and we were both completely okay with the idea of not finding another partner to need to be something that we did. And
100%.
in that's and that was true for both of us. And not soured on romance in any, in any case of the matter, but really living our own lives and feeling really good about that and comfortable in them and being okay with that idea that we might not ever,
Yeah,
find that
I
person.
don't think there's really any set formula for everybody because everybody is just so vastly different. But we have had conversations before and after our marriage, where because we both enjoy our own company so much, the f formula that is bearing fruit for us is that we were both so happy to. I mean, for me personally, I had just thought, I'm happy to ride this out by myself. I just don't. I had stopped looking, and that has, that's borne fruit for us, I guess.
Amazing. And on your 1 year anniversary, what a gift for me to be here with you both.
We're glad you're here
I
too.
have my heart on for you.
Oh,
I would
that's
have probably preferred a little bit more screen time. I don't feel that I was involved enough. But yeah, that's fine.
We're gonna do a sequel with you, and you can make soup. And we'll call it Love Soup. And we're going to have you come up with a new recipe for Love Soup.
Sure.
And you're going to
Yes.
debut it here on the Smart
Hey.
Dating Podcast.
Yeah, and you'll never broadcast it. But that's nice of you to placate my ego.
And you just have to wear the I Love Michelle t-shirt. That's the only rule.
I had actually just come back upstairs when I was hearing that story. That could be difficult because It's gone through the washer a fair few times. You can still make the rough outline of the heart, but I don't think that you would be able to tell who I'm in love with. But there's so many of those little moments that go towards it. I think especially thinking on our anniversary, which is today. Yeah, I think when you know, like it, when this time last year, and I had gone for a walk to get, I think you some Chex Mix or something, and it was blazing summer, and my wife isn't particularly good in the heat, so I'd just gone for a long walk by myself, and I was in Vegas, and everything just felt totally exactly where it should be, whereas I think if you try to convey that story to an outside audience, that can sound quite crazy. But yeah, to me, I was like, I'm gonna go to the Sure Thing Chapel this evening in a red velvet jacket, and my wife's gonna be wearing a future wife is about to be wearing a white go-go dress, and that just felt exactly where we should be. And so yeah, a year in. It's great to, yeah, just be having a quick chat with you. It's really lovely.
Oh, I can't wait for you guys to, dear listener, to see these photos of this wedding and how gorgeous this couple is today and was
I
a
looked
year
good.
ago.
I think that I was, yeah.
You did look really good, babe.
Amazing. I love the red jacket.
Well, it's funny. He was just trying to put into words kind of just this felt sense of, right? Even though kind of the outward expression of it might, look unconventional, it is from that outward that outward kind of picture of it. But inside of it, it just feels calm, right? And that is the difference, right? And another thing I think that I want to bring up because I'm staying in the context of, your listeners and the people that we both work with is that, this might sound like, oh, manifestation or whatever, the summoning, the love by, loving yourself, all of those things. But what's actually happened is, right, when the inside of me stopped being at war with myself, I became legible, right, to the right people, the right person. And just as importantly, I was able to perceive them, him, right? So here's the part that just breaks my heart open every time I think about it is Hamish was already there, right? He'd been in my Instagram feed since 2018. We'd been friendly, right, for years. He just didn't appear out of, thin air the moment I raised my vibration, right, or whatever the nomenclature is. He was always in the frame. I just couldn't see him, right, as a potential partner until I had become someone capable of recognizing partnership. And, you don't conjure the right person, you become someone whose perceptual field is no longer warped by trauma, right? And then you suddenly see who's been walking past you or in your field the whole time. And that's
Oh,
very much what this feels like.
my favorite word for good relationships, as you well know, is easy. And
Easy.
right, and easy doesn't mean there's never a thing that you need to talk about or to negotiate, but it just means, right, you feel comfortable, like you can be yourself from day one. And it's to the word you used earlier, it's non-performative.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty informative. I'd probably push back on most of that. I consider every this has been the most stressful thing Probably.
He's talking about me showing up on the podcast today.
Not the wedding, not being married to you.
No, nothing. Just this morning. This morning was the biggest challenge we've ever faced. So you've got to be a hell of a good podcaster, I'll tell you that, because this morning was something I've never seen.
It was not easy. It was the
No, it
opposite of
was me
being
running
easy.
around, blah, 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 this, trying to get ready and,
You were amazing, and you did not need to do all of that. Just come
blah,
as you are. You're perfect as you are. And just to kind of bookend what you said, it's the right things are usually there for us.
blah.
It's like if you think about listening to a radio, right? Or it's like the voices have always been there. Sometimes we just haven't tuned into the right station, right? And so you had your tuner then set to the right station.
And look what I picked up.
And look at what you picked up when you were open to the, when you put the right station on, which is, Hamish's clear, soup tutorials. Look what
Well,
happened.
another thing is, Bella, right, number one on my list that I wrote all those years ago, right? If we read that list back now, Hamish is every single thing on that list.
I
And the
love
number
that.
one thing is he had to be funny, right? And this guy is always looking for the punchline, right?
Yes.
Oh, for those of you that are watching, you can see the Married in Vegas sticker, the heart that she's holding up right now. And I'm going to actually, after we get off, I'm going to take a screenshot of you two with that sticker, and we're going to put that into the episode as well. So,
Great.
Michelle, if anybody's on the fence, I mean, you do as deep of work as one does, and you've done it on yourself, and you do it with others as, one of the best therapists on planet Earth, and probably why stop there in the entire galaxy. Would you recommend, if people need help, to seek out help in this, maybe to seek out a dating coach, maybe to seek us out? What would you say to somebody who's on the fence going, I don't know?
Absolutely, because when we, when we've tried and we've failed or we've lost our nerve, having helpers, having people who can reflect back to us, having people who can just guide us through that. I called you and Lindsay my bumper pads, right? I knew that, right? I was going to be able to just stay safe and accompanied while I struck out. And I found it to be really helpful, even though I didn't keep the funnel, right? Which is important. There's a lot of things outside of the, what you guys offer and women that I didn't do. But I could always come back, right? And kind of test where I was at. And gave me real confidence in myself because it's one thing you can be a therapist and you can help other people with this all the time, but when you're doing it for yourself, it's completely different.
So different.
Yeah. I mean, I perhaps you've already covered this before my grand entrance, which again was far too long. I don't want to be kept out that long again. Maybe you guys already covered this, but something that impressed me early on was when Michelle said that she had, a session with her therapist and said, if your therapist doesn't have a therapist, then he or she is not a good therapist. You have to be confident enough to be able to discuss your ideas and be open to thoughts and other intelligent people that can offer you that kind of strength or opening to improve your own mindset. I think that's, I mean, Yeah, for me, meeting the smartest woman I've ever met is a really transformative experience, because to be challenged constantly by somebody at least as smart as you in a lot of areas really makes a big difference and improves who you are. So that's yeah, that's maybe slightly off topic, but I think
No, metal sharpens metal,
yeah.
right? Metal sharpens metal. And well, this, I'm, like I said, so honored to be here with the two of you today on your first wedding anniversary. And smart daters, if this hasn't inspired you, I think you need to get yourself out there. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm so inspired right now. I'm inspired for every single one of you listening that love can come to you. Love is going to come to you. I'm certain of it. And hell, it can come across an ocean. It can come across another continent. But getting yourself ready is really, really the key. And so, Michelle Hamish, thank you for being amazing guests for us
Can I say
today.
one more thing?
Of
Is
course.
when it shows up, recognize it, then act like you recognize it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And there's so much that goes into that. Your tuner has to be set to the right place, right? And so thank you for being here. And smart daters, do something good for yourself today. Get to know yourself. Reach out if you need something, if you need a pep talk, you know where to find me. I'm always here. And maybe slide into somebody's DMs today on Instagram because you never know. And
Never know.
love does not have to come to you in your zip code. It doesn't even have to come to you in the same latitude or
Not Dr.
longitude.
Michelle Roberts, she's taken. So
He's holding up his ring, ladies and
off.
gentlemen. Back off. She's mine. She's
Yes.
exactly. Don't slide into Michelle's DMs. So, all right,
I
smart
will be checking.
daters. Until our next episode, I bid you farewell. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.